I love writing. I also love reading other people's written words. But life is full. If you are someone who wants to read with your ears so you can do life while you listen, these episodes are for you. Welcome to Erin Reads, an audio version of the Spark and Stitch blog. How to Stay Informed Without Getting Overwhelmed. Read by me, the author, Erin Walsh. I feel like I'm not doing great with my phone right now, a friend recently shared with me. He went on, I am checking it all the time. Oh, it makes sense, I responded. There is so much going on. The problem is that I feel like I need to be online right now, he said. But it's also clear to me that the longer I am, the worse I feel. But then I wonder, maybe I should be feeling awful. There's so much awful happening. Yeah, I responded, I don't think we should necessarily try to escape the online content altogether. I get it. But oversaturating isn't helpful either. There is a fine line right now between being informed and being overwhelmed. The reality is that there continues to be no lack of breaking news in the world right now, both at home and abroad. Kids and parents alike are constantly inundated with special coverage, hot takes, policy opinions, petitions, memes, misinformation, deep fakes, videos, and more. Checking our phones can put us at the mercy of a fire hose of stimulation. Even though it appears that only our thumbs are moving, our nervous systems are in overdrive. That's not to say that information and connection aren't essential right now. Like my friend said, staying engaged and finding support matters. But when it comes to our mental health, it is clear that the near constant onslaught of information and interactions can take a toll. We have such little room to slow down, pay attention to our reactions, integrate new information, and make sense of what we are seeing and doing. So why don't we just log off more often? There are several things that can make it difficult to unplug during uncertain times. For example, the brain is built to seek out information. The brain's seeking system is designed to reward us for exploring, being curious, and learning new things. This is a good thing, but it also means that every time we get a notification or receive a text, our seeking circuits compel us to respond. Platforms often exploit this drive by delivering content in dramatic ways that grab our attention and ignite the seeker within us, making it really difficult to unplug. Fear also drives attention. When we are anxious or fearful, we are wired to pay more attention to information related to threats. This is also a good thing. Fear puts us on high alert for information that may be essential to our survival, telling us, hey, look here, this is important. The challenge is that as we pay attention to information related to threats, our anxiety goes up even further. And then this further increases our vigilance and selective attention to more scary information. The good news, when we pay attention to other things that are less scary, our anxiety tends to go down. And finally, reassurance-seeking loops keep us checking. It makes sense that in the face of a lot of uncertainty or a scary event, we seek reassurance from each other and our online sources. We are looking for someone to answer the question, will things be okay? Will I be okay? Will the people I love be okay? The challenge is that most of what we read online sparks more uncertainty and ambiguity. While some of us may retreat or unplug in the face of this uncertainty, many of us double down on our search for reassurance. This loop of reassurance seeking followed by ambiguous data followed by more reassurance seeking can be a difficult cycle to break. Indeed, research shows that in the face of ambiguity, our anxiety and compulsive reassurance seeking tend to follow. With all of this in mind, it's an important time to note that taking digital breaks isn't a retreat from the world. It is a commitment to engage with it more thoughtfully. Research over the last 10 years has revealed that our brains have two different operating systems, a looking out system and a looking in system. The challenge for us humans is that we can't use both systems at once. Instead, we toggle back and forth between them. Some examples of when we might use these systems. Looking out. We use this when we scroll through social media, read a text from a friend, or watch news coverage. Looking in. We use this when we rest, reflect, remember, feel, or daydream. Researcher Mary Helen Imordino Yang notes that, quote, "It's when we engage our brain's looking in mode that we make meaning out of the mass of experiences and information we encounter when we're looking out," end quote. We are just beginning to understand the incredible brain benefits that come from introspection. Yet it is clear that it is linked to our social, emotional, and ethical lives. For example, one study showed that the more often we reflectively pause when confronted with an emotional story, the better we are at applying the morals of it to another experience. The challenge in a media-rich world is that our attention is increasingly pulled outward towards soundbite snippets and clicks. This escalates during times of uncertainty and strain. So, what can we do? Well, bringing awareness to the challenge is an important first step. Our media ecosystem is not built to deliver slow information, rest, measured coverage. Plus, many of the natural, human, and political crises we are navigating right now do not have quick resolutions. In other words, we shouldn't wait for a natural down day to magically emerge to help us recharge. We could all benefit from identifying ways to stay engaged and informed without getting completely overwhelmed. Here are a few ways to get started. Number one, remember, there is no one-size-fits-all path here. Each of us is positioned differently to the events unfolding around us. For some, the news delivers reminders of imminent threats to our own or family members' safety and well-being. For others, it may feel more removed. Similarly, hateful or uninformed comments may or may not hit directly. For some, online communities provide essential solace and much-needed timely support. For others, not so much. It is important to acknowledge that our identities shape our experiences on social media and shape our ability to cope with it. We are all going to approach this differently, and that's okay. Number two, slow down. Most of us get the news from social media feeds these days, not directly from reliable news sources. Misinformation related to political issues, violence, conflicts, that's rampant online. Slowing down and making sure that we are consuming and sharing trustworthy information is key to our mental health. We'll put some information and resources in the show notes with strategies and tools to help us slow down. Number three, prioritize recharge. This seems obvious, but this is a time to get serious about recharge. Prioritizing sleep, movement, and outdoor time isn't just nice right now. It is essential. Instead of listening to a podcast on your next walk, consider listening to music instead. Instead of scrolling through the news right before bed, consider winding down without screens. Remember, without proper rest and recharge, managing our relationship with technology becomes even more challenging. Number four, don't just put your phone down, try putting it away. Remember, when it comes to digital devices, proximity is destiny. Of course, in an ideal world, we would all have the internal impulse control to make good choices about when to scroll and when to focus on the task at hand. Yet we know this is challenging not just for kids, but adults as well. Plus, every one of us is up against powerful technology designed to keep our eyes glued to the screen. Put your phone in a basket, put it in another room, or use tech tools to support digital breaks. Your brain will thank you. And finally, practice appointment information seeking. Notifications are difficult for us to resist during times of relative calm and nearly impossible during times of great strain. Notifications reliably pull our attention away from our goals, whether those include work, friends, family, or school. Try turning notifications off. But side note, notice the temptation to check our phones more often when our notifications are off, lest we miss something. Try checking platforms on your own time and schedule. Give your nervous system a chance to recover in between. If you or your kids are struggling with this, consider designating someone as your alert person, somebody who will get in touch with you if there's an actual emergency or something that demands your actual attention. Designating this person can help some people relax. This is a challenging time. Let's continue to look outward for information, for support, and for much needed perspectives and insights. But let's not let it crowd out much needed time and space to recharge and to look in. The challenges we are facing demand that we do both. Thank you for listening to Connected and Courageous, the art and science of showing up for kids in the digital age, a podcast brought to you by the Spark and Stitch Institute. This podcast is hosted by me, Erin Walsh. Many thanks to our series producer, Beth Gibbs of Lyft Podcasting. Music is Still Going Instrumental by John Worthy Music. Warm reminder that the Connected and Courageous podcast does not constitute medical advice and is not a substitute for professional mental health advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you have concerns about your child's well-being, consult a physician or mental health professional. For notes, resources, and ways to deepen your engagement with Spark and Stitch, visit sparkandstitchinstitute.com. Be sure to subscribe in order to stay up to date with all of the latest offerings. Again, thank you so much for listening. Stay connected, stay courageous.